Okay, so we are at the 12th of June 2018, the 29th of Sivan Tavshin Ayin Ches, Erev Rosh Chodesh Tammuz. All right, so two things I wanted to discuss over the course of this parak having to do with Shabbos as well as the Moedim. Most of it has to do with the Moedim, but there is this little juncture in the beginning of it where it discusses Shabbos. So what is that doing there? So the Gemara itself points out, and we pointed this out earlier as well, that it does. There is a major detail that is different and perhaps being contrasted between the way Shabbos is described versus the way the Moedim are being described. What would be that detail? So Shabbos, of course, is dedicated by Hashem. Hashem is the one who declares when Shabbos is going to be, while the Moedim are declared by us, by the Jewish people, by declaring it as being Rosh Chodesh. Specific days are also thereby declaring that the Yom Tovim will fall on those particular days. So this Gemara, that idea is spelled out in the Pesukim, Ela, that it says Sheshes Amim Tasem L'Chavim Yom Shvi Shabbos Shabboson Mikra Kodesh Kamelachzo Shabbos Hila Hashem B'Chol Moshvosichem. It's going to be a Shabbos for Hashem, as opposed to the Moedim, where it's described as Asher Tikru Osam B'Moedam. Right, that you will refer to it as the holidays. So, what is the So what comes after this? So there is actually a Gemara. The Gemara towards the very end of Maseches Pesachim, the tail end of Maseches Pesachim, talks about a distinction in terms of the bracha. The Gemara tells us, "Amar Rava, Ash Chasina L'Sabe De Pumpadisa, De Yasi V'Ka'Ami B'Shapta Be'im B'Tzilus Be'im B'Kiddusha." That he saw the Rabbanim in Pumpadisa, that whether on Shabbos, whether in davening or in Kiddush, they say Mikadesh HaShabbos, Baruch Atah Hashem Mikadesh HaShabbos, Blessed Hashem who sanctifies the Shabbos. However, on Yom Tov Be'im B'Tzilus, whether it's davening or by Kiddush, what do we say? Mekadesh Yisrael v'hazmanim. That Hashem is Mekadesh Yisrael and the times. Meaning, but it's by Yisrael that we are Mekadesh the times, and that's what it explains. Shabbos, the Kfiyah v'kaimah b'im b'tzilus b'im b'kiddush Mekadesh HaShabbos. That Shabbos, which is established, so we, whether by davening or whether by Kiddush, we say Mekadesh HaShabbos. Yom HaTav Yisrael who the Kavile dekam avri yarchi v'kavri l'sheni Mekadesh Yisrael v'hazmanim. That B'nai Yisrael, who has the ability to extend months, or B, add months, so therefore we say, Mekadesh Yisrael v'hazmanim. Okay, but what is the, there is a essay here in the Sifsei Chaim, Midas V'avodas Hashem Chelik Beis Siman Taf Kuf Ayin Tes, within the Sugya of Shabbos, that describes what is the basis of Kedusha, where is the Kedusha emanating from when it comes to the sanctity of Shabbos. And we had, and perhaps this is contrasting, meaning we learned about in the beginning of Parshas Kedoshim, we learned there's a famous Ramban there that discusses Kedoshim Tiyu, the how does one attain Kedusha. Do anybody remember that Ramban? It's probably top five famous Rambans in the entire Torah. Remember what the Ramban said in Kedoshim Tiyu? That you're going to be Mekadesh Atzmacha B'Mutralach. That you're going to be Mekadesh yourself with that which is permitted to you, permissible to you, which the Ramban seemed to then go on and say that even things that are permissible to you, one sometimes has to be Makdish. You have to sanctify yourself and even abstain from those. I mean, the Torah gives rules and regulations, but even those things that are permissible through the rules and regulations, one still has to be careful in terms of how and how often they're doing that. Meaning a person could eat only kosher, but yet while eating only kosher, they're still going to be in violation of, say, achilas gasa, overeating and things of that nature. Right? The example the Ramban gives is a person can follow all the rules in the Torah, but still speak benevol pet, speak in inappropriate ways, which is an interesting, that seems to be a source for not speaking in ways that are deemed inappropriate. What is that? Who deems what inappropriate? Yeah, we do. I don't know. Does FCC declare it? Or we know. We know how Jews should speak. We know how people are supposed to speak, and not speaking in that appropriate way, says the implies the Ramban, is a violation of Kedoshim Tiyu. Same thing with perhaps relations and things of that nature, to not have, to limit even that which is permissible, to perhaps limit oneself somewhat in terms of how often, things like that. So all of that has to do with the attainment of Kedusha. But as the Rishis Chachma points out, the Rishis Chachma was authored by a student of Rav Moshe Cordovero. It was somewhat of a Kabbalist, lived in Tzfat. He was part of that chevra that was living in Tzfat. I'm forgetting the name of the author, but the Reishis Chachma, the Sefer Reishis Chachma. So he incorporates, he sort of mixes together Nigla and Nistar. Quotes the Zohar, but also quotes, and therefore it became a pretty popular Sefer. So the Sefer Reishis Chachma, he points out that there's two types of Kedusha that would therefore be attainable by man. Number one is the idea that's represented by the Ramban in Parshas Kedoshim. Sanctifying yourself by excluding things that otherwise would be permissible to you. Right, and that is the perhaps the kedusha by way of precious, kedusha by way of abstention, of keeping yourselves away from things. But the other part of kedusha is when we say so nimse betorim v'im harbe milas kedusha v'yesh b'china shnia b'kedusha. There's a second type of kedusha shuhu hamshachas or hakedusha aleinu kedesh nistatir v'nislabish ba'osa hakedusha, and that is bringing the light of kedusha, bringing the light of sanctity towards you, so that you can therefore clothe yourself in that kedusha. And what do we say, right? And that is the idea of asei sur meira, keep away from bad. I mean, stay away. If one wants to be matish, stay away from bad. Keep away things that are not going to be good for you. Va'asei tov, and do good things. And that's what could bring about a way of a person gaining kedusha. He suggests here an interesting idea in a footnote. This is not in the Reishis Chachma. This is the Sif Seichayim is adding this. Now, what do we say? How do we marry a woman? What do we say when we marry somebody? Hare at mikudesh asli, that you are hereby going to be sanctified to me. Right? The Asr la achuli amlik hektish, and thereby you are prohibited to everybody else by way of hektish. So only as hektish. So that's excluding everybody else. What about to me? So Tosfos adds in, "Re'ad mikudeshes li, klomer lius li mikudeshes liolam bishvili." That there also is an aspect of to me, meaning not only are you excluded from everybody else, as the Gemara bears out, but also that you are sanctified to me and thereby permissible to me. The kavana no sefes. Then he adds in, "Vikidashtili Tosfos writes, upash the milsim mikudeshes li miyuchedes li mizmanes li." Right, you're set aside for me, and he explains, "V'nimsa shabamiras harei as mikudeshes li nichlolim shtei bechinos kedush." Right, includes both of those areas of Kedusha. You're excluded from everybody, and you're directly permissible to me. And they add in, Tosus points out, what if you would go over to want to purchase something and say, Hare ze mikudeshes li b'tapasu. Right? So would that work? Is that a valid form of kinyan? Is that a valid form of acquisition? So the answer is no. Right, only that only works when it's a davar shebikdusha. That's explicit in the svarim. Right, the terminology of harei at mikudeshes li does not work in terms of a mundane acquisition. It only works when it is a sanctified acquisition, which is an interesting idea because people often, you know, some accuse Judaism of misogyny and things like that by saying that you see, the man acquires the woman like he would acquire a cow. Right, he's not acquiring a woman like he acquires a cow. The language is different. The terminology is different. Well, the language that we use in terms of an acquisition of marriage would not work by other forms of acquisition. So that fits in with this terminology of Kedusha. Sur meira v'yase tov. Stay away, keep away bad, and acquire good. So how does one acquire good? So one acquires good by way of doing mitzvos. And if we think, and that is the ideal form of attaining Kedusha, not just by keeping things away, but by adding things in. And that, as the Reishis Chachma, is the pshat in what it means to make a bracha. What do the words of the bracha mean? Asher kidishanu b'mitzvosav etzivanu. You have sanctified us by way of your mitzvos. Do we ever say any brachos, asher kidishanu by elotase? Asher kidishanu savitzivanu shelo liharing, that I'm not going to kill. Shelo lavor al gilei arayos, that I'm not going to violate, and I'm not going to violate immorality and things like that. Right? We sanctify ourselves actively only when we do mitzvos, and that is what it sounds. That's what the words mean. Right? That's what the word asher kidishanu mitzvos savitzivanu al. On whatever mitzvah that we're going to go ahead and do it. And then he suggests, he says, and that is the idea that Shabbos, well, Shabbos is not just the pushing away of things that are wrong, but the acquisition of Kedusha, the acquisition of sanctity, and the demonstration of, what do we say about Shabbos? That Shabbos is me'ein olam haba. The Shabbos is a way of attaining, or kemat, similar to, domet to, or a hint of, or part of, olam haba, the next world. So how is that? How is that Shabbos is connected or compared to Me'ein olam haba, is like olam haba. What does that mean? So he has a line here where he says, suggests, yeah. The Shabbos is like, how is that? Kedushas Olam Haba, he arib vitol yitzahara. He says, number one, the Kedusha of Olam Haba is like getting rid of the yitzahara. How that fits in with Shabbos, he doesn't really go on to explain. But then he says, Af kol kelim yukedoshim v'yishmishu l'tzarche kedusha. But what also is something unique about Olam Haba? That everything that you have there is embedded with kedusha, is embedded with sanctity. How does that apply to Shabbos? So he doesn't explain it so clearly, but I think what he's driving at is that Shabbos, everything one does, is a fulfillment of, hopefully is a fulfillment of, the mitzvah of Shabbos, the mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos, and therefore is imbibed, is embedded, it therefore includes within it a large amount of Kedusha. Not just the staying away from the malachos that we don't do and I'm going to sit still, but all the things that are done on Shabbos, eating, drinking, sleeping, all the forms of enjoyment that one has over the form of Shabbos, is a fulfillment of Menucha Shabbos, Shmir Shabbos, caring for Shabbos, enjoying Shabbos, all of that included in the mitzvah. And perhaps that's what it means to be Me'ein Olam Haba. That all of the things that a person does over the course of Shabbos is connected to and traced to the mitzvah of remembering Shabbos and enjoying Shabbos, things like that. And that's what it perhaps means to be Me'ein Olam Haba. Yeah?
Just from curiosity, I just remember about the Karaites being extreme on the not do's, like not cooking and stuff. Do they imbibe the other sections?
Probably not.
So
I don't know.
I'm not a Karaite. No, but I'm just wondering. We're talking about two sides of Shabbos. Do they have their two sides?
I don't know.
Well, I know.
You could go contact them. You could ask them what they do with this vort. What do they gain from Shabbos? That's the question we want to ask them. And then it goes ahead and somewhat distinguishes between Shabbos and the rest and the other Yom Tovim, that Shabbos is something that comes to us, that is a connection to, that we have a direct relation with Hashem, and Hashem declares when it's going to be Shabbos, as opposed to Yom Tov, when we kind of ask for an invitation, right? We declare when it's going to be in order to set up a time in order to meet. So the greater closeness to Hashem is going to be on Shabbos over Yom Tov. Yom Tov is something that we are responsible for, while Shabbos is something that Hashem brings to the fore. It brings out one more point here, he says, and that perhaps is the idea behind the Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos. Anybody ever actually looked at what the perek of Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos that we actually use to invoke Shabbos and bring Shabbos in? That is the declaration that now it is Shabbos. After, if it's not, meaning if a person is making Shabbos early, for example, they say Kabbalah Shabbos, so we assume that by saying Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos, they've accepted Shabbos upon themselves. So what is it about that perek? So if you look at that perek, other than the words Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos, it has nothing to do with Shabbos. So the Sif Seif Chaim goes on and says, "Yeah, what is Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos? Mizmor Shir Li Asid Lavo Liyom Shekula Shabbos Nuchal L'Chayolam." That the idea. What is the idea of saying it? Meaning, on the Mishnah tells us that that is the Shir Shal Yom of Shabbos. So it has to do not with this world, but with Olam Haba. The Perek is about why do good things happen to bad people and why do bad things happen to good people. It's telling us that Hashem really is fair, and that is the end of the Perek as well. Suriv Lo Avla. To tell us that Hashem really is straight and we're not going to violate anything. So he says, the idea of this parak is how Rishayim seem to be having success in this world, etc. So what does this parak have to do with Shabbos? So what the Sifsi Chaim suggests is that no. The Mizmor Shir, the hope is for Liyasid Lavo, the enjoyment, to recognize at the end that Hashem really was fair. That's what Olam Haba is. It's connecting the Shabbos to Olam Haba. Olam Haba is when we go and look back and recognize that what Hashem was doing made sense, and that we understand and that we acknowledge those things. There is a further pshat in why we say Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos that is brought in the Emes Liyakov, that perhaps builds upon that theme. That the Medrash tells us in the beginning of Shros. That what they do on these Shabbos, on Shabbos. I mean, we know that Moshe, well, Yosef really, and then Moshe was able to set up the idea that there would be one day of rest for all of the for the Jews while they were in Egypt, which was known, right? Which were able to work out to be Shabbos. So Malamish Hai Biyadah, Megillah Shahayim is Ashtim Bahem Bishabbos, Shabbos, Lomashe Kadosh Baruch, Golan, the Fishai Nochem, Bishabbos, Amalah, and Parav, the Chavi, etc. That there were, the Medrash tells us that there were these Megillahs that they used to read over the course of Shabbos. So asks Rav Yaakov, Kamesky, which what were these Megillahs? What were these Megillahs that were said? So he suggests that if we take a look, that the Gemara tells us in, well, he points out that Mizmor Shir LeYom HaShabbos, we see that there's no other than the words Mizmor Shir LeYom HaShabbos, the rest of it doesn't have anything to do with Shabbos. Rather, what does it say? Rather, so for Mizmor, Yir Lanu, Rashi Tachlis Kamaz HaMizmor Hu Lahagi Ki Hashar Hashem Tzri V'Lah V'Lasabo. The main thing is to recognize that Hashem is a rock and He doesn't wrong us. V'im Kein, there's nothing having to do with Shabbos. So Benira says Rav Yaakov, Shem Mizmor Zeh Ha'Echa MiHaMegillah SheHishtashu Behen V'Yom HaShabbos Mitzrayim. That was one of the Megillahs that they read on Shabbos Mitzrayim. V'haynu achar sheparo hiskim levakash l'shamo, after Paro agreed to Moshe's request that he would give the Jews a day of rest, and Moshe chose that day would be Shabbos, Moshe set up that they would go and read these Megillahs. V'hal achar sheba Moshe leparo sheyishlach es b'nei Yisrael gazor leim sheyasu avodasam gam b'Shabbos, but after Moshe came back to Paro and asked that they free the Jews, so Hashem took those days away from him. So okay. So first of all, when did this get written, Mizmor Shir LeYom HaShabbos? What book of Tanakh is it found in? It's found in Tehillim, right? So who wrote Tehillim?
David
HaMelech. So how did, it's a little anachronistic to say that that's what they were reading in Egypt. But if you look, the Gemara in Bava Basra, there's a Gemara towards the beginning of Bava Basra that discusses who wrote which Svarim. And if one looks at Tehillim, so it says David HaMelech wrote Tehillim, but there's some parts that are made up by Adam. Adam Rishon wrote a couple of Prakim, and Eve wrote a couple of Prakim, and Moshe wrote Tet. Moshe wrote a couple of Prakim, and Rashi actually tells you, Tefillah LeMoshe, which is in, I believe, Tzadi Aleph, or Tzadi, and the next 10, meaning the, I think what he talks about is meaning the ones that are at Psuki de Zimra, those were mentioned by Moshe. Meaning what? Moshe himself wrote Mizmor Shir LeYom HaShabbos. So,
excuse me, didn't Vnei Korach also?
There might be some from Vnei Korach, yeah. Or maybe David's recording with Vnei Korach. Yeah, take a look at that Gemara. It gives a whole list of people that, you know, the credits at the end of Tehillim, so it gives you the list of who wrote what. Right, but Moshe, certainly included in that, is Moshe wrote Mizmor Shir LeYom HaShabbos. What is the significance of Mizmor Shir? And when did he write it? He suggests, well, let's think about it. Moshe had a lifetime, the last 40 years were in the desert. He wouldn't have any need to question God's fairness when they were in the desert. So when was the period that Bnei Yisrael were questioning God's fairness? When they were still in Mitzrayim, when they were still enslaved.
Right.
So Moshe gave them the opportunity on Shabbos to identify this problem. Why is it that these Egyptians seem to have it so much better than us? Right? And to recognize that that's part of what we have to think about. I mean, that's part of our questions that we have. We can think about it and discuss it and things like that. That's what was done. That was their Liman HaTorah to be done on Shabbos. To sit in Patimkin and recognize that even though it might seem unfair now, and it might seem like good things are happening to bad people, that the Egyptians are doing so much better than the Nebuchadnezzar's Jews are, at the end of the day we recognize, like Yid Ki Ashar Hashem, to tell us that Hashem is straight, Tzri V'lo Avlasa, Hashem Arak is good and straight, and it's not, and at the end of the day isn't going to wrong us. So that's part of the and that's the Me'on Olam Haba, right? To get to that belief where we identify that it's not that Hashem is being mean to us, etc., that really it all makes sense and Hashem isn't wronging us. Okay, so that's idea number one with regards to the Kedusha of Shabbos. Questions, comments, observations? No? All right, so one other thought I wanted to just point out. I came across this essay in Rabbi Baruch Simon's Sefer here. And we don't talk about it very much. What?
Bereshis Chachma was Eliyahu to Vidas.
Yeah, makes sense. Yeah, from Swat, I got Moshe Cordovero's student. I got it right? Okay.
Buried in Chevron.
I think he lived in, born in Tver and died in Chevron.
Correct.
Okay.
He lived in
Cordovero was in Swat.
Yeah, he
He was born there and then took up a shteller in Hebron.
Oh, Hebron. Wow.
He lived in Sfar in Hebron and he died in Hebron.
Okay.
All right. Okay, so there is a holiday. There seems to be a holiday that is talked about over the course of Parshas Emor, over the course of this parak, which we don't really identify very much. And so we also, even the day, we are all in shul that day, but we don't really talk about that day. It was a little awkward to talk about it, and that is the second day of Pesach. The second day of Pesach has its own discussion over the course of this parak that we learned. Everybody catch that?
Yeah.
What?
That's the Omer.
It's the beginning, yeah, the Korban HaOmer. Right, that's when we begin the count of the Omer. It gets its own little section in terms of the discussion here. So Eilam Moed Dei Hashem talks about Pesach, and then when you come to the land, which I'm going to give, you're going to cut the land, and you're going to bring the Omer, and you're going to wave the Omer in front of Hashem, and you're going to make that day the day of your waving of the Omer. You're going to bring the special korban, and you're going to bring the mincha to Esronim, and it gives you the korbanos of that day. And then that's actually its own section. And then the next section is, oh, and you're going to count from the day after Pesach, the day of counting the Omer. But this, but the second day of Pesach, other than not just counting the Omer, that's its own section in the midst of counting the Omer. The bringing of the Omer almost it seems to get identified as its own chag, as its own holiday on that day. Now, what comes about on that day? So after you wave the Omer, so the Pasuk tells us, the lechem the kaliva chamel, Pasuk Yudal at 14, the lechem and the all of the kernels and the things that you have, you shouldn't eat until that day, until you bring the korban of Hashem, chukaslam derosecha mechomot shvosecha, which should be a chok for all generations in all the places that you're going to live. So there is a korban that got brought on that day to permit all of the wheat from the previous year. Previously it was known as chadash wheat, and now it becomes yashan wheat.
Right.
So there is an interesting question that is brought up by the Emek Bracha. The Emek Bracha, like quote someone else who asked this question, that why is it that we don't say halal after, we only say a half halal after day one of Pesach?
Yeah, nobody's ever got a good answer.
Maybe no one has a good answer. There's two... So Sam says, oh, because the Egyptians died. Hashem says, Masai Yadai Tavu Biyam, right?
Vani Lek Rishim. If you aren't liberal, I don't believe it.
Okay. So that is what Sam is quoting is a Medrash. However, the Gemara itself raises the question. That's a Medrash quotes that idea, but the Talmud Bavli gives a more halachic reason. The Talmud Bavli says that we say a full halal every day of Sukkot and not of Pesach. What's the difference? Because Sukkot has a changing amount of korbanos every day. So because it's like a different korban, a different amount of korbanos every day, it's identified as a chag b'fnei atzmo. Each day is its own holiday, and therefore it's going to get its own complete halal, as opposed to Pesach. Pesach is the same korbanos straight through, so therefore we're only going to do a complete halal on the first day, and a half halal the rest of Pesach. That's what the Gemara tells us in Maseches Arachin. So Chanukah is... Why does Chanukah get different every day? I don't... No. Recall. Gotta look up that Gemara and see what exactly. I was thinking about Chanukah while we were saying it, but gotta look up that Gemara as to why Chanukah is Al Hanei. I don't remember. Yeah. But anyways, so it asks the Emek Bracha, well, wait a second. The second day of Pesach gets its own korbanos. Right? So why shouldn't the second day of Pesach have a full halal? Now, for us, it does have a full halal, but that's only because we think it's the first day. It being on the second day does not get its own thing. Well, why is it not special? So he discusses that these korbanos that are brought, these korbanos are not part of the Kedushas Hayom, rather it is a matir, it is permission, it is hereby permitting things that before that were prohibited before. So for that reason, it's not about Kedusha, so it's not about sanctity of the day. That's just the first day that happened to be able to bring it. But absent of that, it's not about the day itself, and therefore one doesn't say Hallel on that day. Okay? But there is an interesting halacha that then comes out as well from this idea. And that is, when does the wheat become permissible? So that wheat becomes permissible. You're allowed to do it after the korban is brought. Right? What happens if you're not going to bring a korban? When does the wheat become permissible?
Shavuos?
Huh?
Shavuos.
No, not Shavuos.
That's not right. I just put myself back. I was like thinking I know. Sacrifice is really important. I'm ready for this.
So when does it become permissible if not for that day? So the pasuk tells us, it tells you you're going to bring the korban, it's going to be permissible. Right? And you shouldn't eat it when? At etzem hayom hazeh, ad haviyachem es korban Eloheichem. You can't bring the, you can't eat the new wheat until that day, and until you bring the korban to Hashem. So what happens if you're not bringing a korban to Hashem? When is it permissible? It sounds like at etzem hayom hazeh, until that day. When does until that day begin? So we paskin that it begins at Nitzachama, at sunrise, which is an interesting halacha, because generally, the Oraisa, we assume that the day begins at dawn, at daybreak, and we're just machmir to wait till sunrise. But this halacha seems to be within the Oraisa, on the second day of, the second day of Pesach, when we bring this korban, if you're not going to bring the korban, so the Oraisa, you're permitted to already eat the chadash, you're already permitted to eat, well, the now yashan wheat, you're already allowed to eat it in the morning. Okay?
Even if you didn't bring a sacrifice?
Even if you, well, it, because you're not bringing a sacrifice. If you're not going to bring a sacrifice, then it becomes permissible at that point. So the Mishnah tells us in Sukkah, and Rosh Hashanah, and Menachos, all those places, it says that one of the takanos of Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai was that the entire second day of Pesach, the wheat is going to remain usher. You can't have wheat that entire second day. That was his takana. That the first that again, when the Beis Hamikdash was standing, you would wait for the korban. If the absence of a korban, you could eat it in the morning. Came Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai and said that we're not going to eat it that day. We're going to wait to the evening. Why? What was the reasoning behind Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's takana? So the Gemara asks, "My time, this is in Sukkah Mem Aleph Amar Aleph. My time, Meheri Yibana Beis Hamikdash. The Beis Hamikdash should be rebuilt. Vayomru Eshtaka Milo Achalnu Bayar Mizrach." And they're going to say, "Oh, I remember when we started eating our new wheat. Last year, we started eating our new wheat in the morning. Hashanami Nechel. So too here, we should begin eating in the morning." And they're not going to realize that last year there was no Beis Hamikdash, and therefore it became permissible as soon as at sunrise. Hashadika Beis Hamikdash Omer Matir. But now that we do have a Beis Hamikdash, what do we have to wait for? We have to wait for the Omer. We have to wait for the Korban to be brought. So the Gemara says, well, wait a second. When is the Beis Hamikdash going to be rebuilt? So if you say it's being built on the 16th, so if the Beis Hamikdash gets built on day 16, right? The 16th of Nisan, right? On the second day of Pesach, when would it have become permissible? When would we become permissible? It would have been permissible in the morning. So we have nothing to lose, right? If the Beis Hamikdash is not standing in the morning, so then you can eat the wheat already as soon as the morning comes, right? Are we hitir here, Mizrach? El d'ivni b'chamisa. Rather, it was built on the 15th. That, of course, presents a problem because the 15th is Yontif, right? But it was built on the 15th. Michatzos hayom ulahalan tishrei. So, right? If it was built from midday and onwards, so it should be permissible from midday and onwards because they'll bring the korban in the morning. The hatnam was, it says, when did people that weren't in Yerushalayim, when were they permitted to eat the korban? Right, sorry, when were they permitted to eat the new wheat? If you were up in Tzfat, right?
Yeah.
When were you permitted to eat the new wheat? Did you have to wait till the end of the day? So just for Yochanan ben Zakkai, no, you don't have to wait till the end of the day, right? You can eat it at
sunrise.
No, at midday, because the korban is going to be brought in the morning. You can assume that the korban is going to be lefisha ein based in ma'atzlim bobas. Based, it's not going to hold off and be tardy and not bring the korban in time. So if you're on the Beis Hamikdash Twitter account, when you get the tweet that the korban was brought, so then you can eat it right away. And if you're anti-smartphone, so wait till chatzos, and by chatzos you can assume that it's already going to be brought. So rather, the Gemara says, lotzrichet ivni b'leili. No, we have to be concerned that it was built at the night of the 16th, or close to evening of the 15th. Right? One second. Right? And right? So Inami Samachlishki, or it was brought in 15, and that's when it's going to, that's what's going to be brought, in which case, everything might be delayed, meaning if the Beis Hamikdash doesn't get created until those times, so then it's going to, you're going to have to, they're not going to have time to go and cut the Omer, etc. So you have to be concerned for that year that the Korban's not going to be done by midday. That's what the Gemara tells. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai ruled that you can't eat the new wheat until evening. Every year you can't eat the new wheat until evening, because maybe the Beis Hamikdash is going to be rebuilt, and even though when the Beis Hamikdash is standing and operating normally, you could assume that the Korban Omer is born in the morning, on day one, when the Beis Hamikdash was built right away, so we're not sure if the Omer is going to be prepared on time, so therefore you have to wait the entire day. That's the kind of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So, oh wow, we're really out of time. Oh, what? On the 16th, yeah. Either on the evening, no, it's going to be eaten on the night of the 16th, meaning, in this case, the Beis Hamikdash is going to be built for the next, you know, that at that point, in which case, you're already going to have a Beis Hamikdash at sunrise.
Part of the 16th.
Right. Or late on the 15th. Either way, they didn't have time to get their act together in order to make sure that the Korban Omer is brought. Therefore, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai brought them. So by the way, this is an interesting, this is where Rashi has the idea of, well, how's it going to be built then? And that's where he talks about the base of, that the first base of, the first and second base of Midrash is built by people, and this third base of Midrash is going to be built from Shemai, right? It's just going to plop down from the heavens and fall down the ground. That's where Rashi quotes this idea from. I see Rabbi Gold is waiting. But so what's interesting is that that is that medrash is really like a far-fetched medrash. Why did Rashi have to bring this idea here? Why did Rashi invoke this here? So Tosfos also quotes this medrash. So I think the answer goes along the lines of is that we have a requirement to recognize that Beis Hamikdash should come at any possible time. Any possible time it could come. So when Rashi was living in the middle of France someplace, so how could we assume, what is the most reasonable way to expect that Mashiach will all of a sudden come and the Beis Hamikdash will get rebuilt? Right, there's no way of assuming that, oh yeah, we're going to go back to Eretz Yisrael, we're going to build a government, and then we're going to... There was no way of seeing that was going to happen. So Rashi said, it must be that everything's going to be done miraculously, that we're going to somehow wind up in Israel right away, and the Beis Hamikdash is going to call from the heavens. Right? But nowadays, perhaps we could see an alternative, that Mashiach could come at any moment, and we could see, perhaps not like this far-fetched medrash that Rashi quotes that the Beis Hamikdash is going to fall from Shemayim, but rather that we're going to build it, and build it, you know, it's going to be built by people, etc., and it will, and we'll be able to have it very soon. There's much more to say on this topic, but I see we're out of time. So, speaking of the advantages that we have of this living in this era, we wish Sam a wonderful trip to the Holy Land, and hope he comes back. Peaceful, or maybe decides to stay. You know, either way.